Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Lounge. Come in. Have a seat. I hope you've grabbed your most favorite beverage. Let's sit and let's talk. Now, VIBE is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation, and I like to have conversations around that. But VIBE is also short for vibration. So this is the place where you get to turn your VIBE on to increase your vibration so you can attract what you want instead of pushing it away. So my first question is, what do you want? Ask yourself right now, what do I want? Switches up your mindset straight away, so that you can attract in what you want and get you into a good state of vibration. Now, today I would like to touch on the subject of narcissism. And the reason for that is that I spoke to someone yesterday and they used this word, but they used it almost as if it was a throwaway statement, because it's a subject that is prevalent at the moment in various media forms. And the way that this person used this word was almost as if it was a throwaway statement, and what she was actually describing of her ex-partner wasn't narcissism. She was describing to me somebody who is just insecure. So I thought it would be a great time to remind ourselves what narcissism is. Okay, we're living in a society where people are encouraged to be individualized, to recognize their individual status, and then they're rewarded for it with likes and all of these things that we see on social media. But what is narcissism exactly? Well, in its most basic form, it is beyond vanity. I think it's being bandied around as to mean that someone is vain, but it's so much more than that. It's much more complex than that, and it exists in various shades, as it were, from, you know, having a very healthy ego, beyond having a very healthy ego, to this sense of grandiosity. And in America, I noticed a statistic where it said for a person to have full-blown NPD, which is narcissistic personality disorder, they estimated that 6% of people in the US suffer from that. But many people actually fall short of the strict diagnosis symptoms, as it were, of a person who is showing narcissistic tendencies. So I want to look at, how can you identify yourself? How can you tell if you are a narcissistic person, and in fact, what shade of narcissistic are you? So we're going to look at some narcissistic traits. Now, when I list these traits, if you find that you share a lot of these traits, then you may want to seek help from a therapist. Because at its core, narcissism is a disguise for a deep-seated sense of insecurity and shame. And you may not even realize that it's there. That's why I advise you to seek out a therapist. Now, the first thing about narcissism is you'll notice that these individuals, they dominate conversations. They really feel compelled to talk about themselves. And I would even say that they consume about 90% of conversational space. They exaggerate about their accomplishments. They're always talking about themselves. You know, you even might find that they embellish stories and then they spin them to impress their audience. You know, they're the best reader in the class, the most popular, gymnast, in the class. They fabricate stories. And they even use little white lies just to make the tale just that more colourful. But really, they're storing up this idealized version of themselves that distracts you from the fear that they are not good enough. Another characteristic of the narcissistic is that they always feel as if they know more than others. They always feel as if they want to give unsolicited advice. Now, there's nothing wrong with being helpful in recommending, you know, the best restaurants or even sharing your wisdom. But when you find that you're seizing an opportunity to demonstrate your superior knowledge and your insight, then that's when we kind of switch over. They always think that they know more than other people, and it's demonstrated often in a very arrogant, inflated ego way. They'll act more charming in the room, the most sophisticated person in the room. And in essence, what they're actually doing is they're bolstering their ego, this inflated sense of ego, and with complete disregard as to whether it's at your expense or not. Now, maybe you're that person who absolutely detests waiting for information. You detest waiting in line, and you get really frustrated if someone doesn't respond to your text message straight away or your voicemail right away. Because on some kind of level, you feel as if you deserve special treatment. So whatever narcissist's needs are, they need to be met now. And oftentimes, if their demands are not met there and then, you can find that they then become very insulting to you, or will use cutting remarks that can cut you to the quick, because they want you to be compliant to their needs all the time, because they see themselves as that important. So whether you're conscious of it or not, you're living a life with a sense of entitlement. And that's the word that I really want to emphasize here. This feeling of entitlement, expecting the world to revolve around you. Now let's talk about ambition. You'll find that these individuals are highly ambitious. They will work their butt off. And it's quite another to believe you are destined for greatness. But that type of grandiose assumption is a classic symptom of narcissists. They think that they're naturally special, they're part of an elite class that deserves only the best. And they fantasize about how much more powerful they will be, how much more beautiful they will be, how much richer they will be. And they like to associate with other, quote unquote, high status people. These people are not humble. And they may even obsess over status symbols, like the right shoes to the best looking car, and belittle anyone who they don't perceive to be part of the same exclusive club. Totally, in my opinion, lack humility. Now, in the same token, these people are charmers. They have sweet words. On the outside, somebody who doesn't know them on a deeper level would think that they're the most charming, most likable person on earth, because they use sweet words to make the other person feel important, because they're hoping that that will be reciprocated. They thrive on praise. And what you'll find is that if you're in a romantic relationship or you're dating this person, your relationship is going to move very quickly, because you're going to find it very intoxicating. You're going to actually feel smothered with love. It will feel as if it's love. It's going to feel like one of those Mills and Boone stories. You know, those type of romances that just move like a whirlwind. But the admiration that this person will shower on that person, it's a part of an unspoken deal that you will reciprocate, because they want you to tell them how attractive and how intelligent they are. The thing is, the minute that they question or criticize you, that is when the mask drops and they reveal who they truly are. They can move you just as quickly from the pedestal to the bin. Literally. You could be on a high with them, smiling, happy, and the next minute they'll deliver this cutting comment which will just make you feel as small as an ant. You'll find yourself having to tread around this person like you're walking on eggshells. Now, what else can I say about the narcissist? And I want you to identify yourself as I'm speaking while I'm sharing these traits. They're very competitive. Now, in a narcissist view of the world, there are only two types of people. There are winners and there are losers. And the narcissist wants to win in every domain. It doesn't matter if it's in the office, or if it's in the tennis court, you know, just the way that they're perceived. They want and they have to make themselves feel superior. Remember what I spoke about, the embellishment of character? They're always on this quest to dominate other people. And it could be anyone. It could be someone that's really close to them. It could be a stranger. It could be, you know, somebody who's in the neighborhood. They just have this drive to come out on top. And it comes from this deep insecurity that they feel. Something happened while they're growing up that stunted that part of them. That deep inside, they feel as if they're not enough. So they try to make up for it with this type of behavior. So look out for this particular trait. Now, when it comes to holding grudges, the narcissistic is quite notorious for that. Now, to everybody else, it feels as if you seem to be highly confident, like I mentioned. You know, you don't care what other people think, but you do care what other people think. They care very deeply about maintaining their image in front of everyone else. And so they have deep trouble tolerating any sort of disapproval or insult, no matter how slight the criticism. It will feel as if it's a huge assault, a huge attack on their personal character. It will feel so personal to them, and it's unlikely that they're going to forget it. And that's why it feels as if you're walking around eggshells with this person, because you're not sure what comment that you make that they will take it as an attack. I remember sending a text message. It was just a general text message to a few people. And I had inadvertently sent it to this particular person who I already knew was a narcissistic individual. And the way that they reacted to this text message was unbelievable. They were deeply hurt by it. They took it extremely personal. And I had to explain, look, I sent this same message to such and such. The other person was laughing. They took it as a joke. You see? This type of person is very, very sensitive if they even think that you have intentionally slighted them. But instead of actually dealing with their hurt feelings, they tend to get angry and seek revenge in some form or the other. So you may find that this person has a spiteful side to them. Another trait of the narcissistic is that it's never their fault. Are you a person where you feel as if it's never your fault? Do you ask yourself or even admit when you're wrong, even when you're caught in the act? I remember again a situation where I actually caught a narcissistic in an act, and they were able to turn it and look at it from a different perspective, explain it from a different perspective, which made absolutely no sense to me, by the way. And I think it was at that point that I then realized, wow, this person has a serious problem. Because I could have sworn blind that if I hadn't seen what I saw with my own eyes, that this person was telling the truth. They always find an excuse for their behavior. They don't take responsibility. They'll make an excuse. They'll say, oh, it's because you were doing this to me, because you were treating me this way, that's why I did this. Or you're the one who drove me to do that. They never hold themselves accountable for their mistakes and bad behavior. And instead, they will shift the blame to someone else. And they'll do that within their close personal relationships. Let's just say narcissists always believe that it's the other person's fault. And that's part of the character in terms of always wanting to feel as if they're winning. Now, this one is a very huge part of what I would say is a way to identify a narcissistic person. And that is their manipulative ways. They take advantage of people. Now, sometimes I had to question when I was in a relationship with a narcissistic man. Did you do that intentionally? I would literally think, did you actually do that intentionally? Because I couldn't believe that someone could do the things that he would do intentionally. Did he do that intentionally, or is he completely unaware of what he's doing? So I'm going to leave it and say it may not be intentional, but it happens. Because they tend to view situations in terms of what they mean for themselves and not for the other person. And the reason for that is they have, and I really want you to clock this, because it's a strong narcissistic trait, they lack empathy. They have the inability to turn into, or should I say, relate to the feelings of another person. And to me, this is the cornerstone of narcissism. And that's what makes it so dangerous. This inability to feel what another person feels. They expect others to revolve literally around their needs. It's not about you. They absolutely refuse. I don't even think it's a case of that they refuse. I believe they don't have the ability to. And that's why I see it as a disorder. I believe that's why it's documented as a disorder. They do not have the ability to feel what you feel, because all they care is about themselves. There's something that's not quite wired in their brains. And so in order to get what they want, they have no problem manipulating you, whether it's intentional or non-intentional. They have no problem bullying you, so long as they get what they want. Because in the end, it's all about them. And if you're identifying yourself in these traits, it's all about you. And oftentimes, these people, they also have an addiction. Think about how people feel when they are, you know, they're feeling like they've got a rush on, like they're high, they're untouchable, they're bulletproof, you know, this sense of grandiose behavior, you know, this feeling as if they're on top of the world. That is the feeling that the narcissistic craves. You know, you might come from, you might get a high, I should say, from alcohol, or it may be plastic surgery, it may be an addiction to shopping, but they need this supply to make them feel good over and over and over again. And that's why often narcissistic people, when they're in relationships or they're dating, they will take and take and take from that person. You know, they're like vampires. They will suck the life out of you. And when it gets to a point where you realize what this person is doing and you cut off the supply to them, in other words, they can't take from you anymore, then they will dispose of you just like your garbage and go on to the next one and suck and suck and suck the blood out of them until you wake up, until you wake up, you see. Until you wake up and say, no, this is not it. This is enough. And then they'll move on to the next one. Narcissistic people are takers. And the thing is, when you cut off the supply from them, their insecurity comes up again. And that's why they need to move on to the next victim. And sometimes they will come back. Oftentimes they will come back to you because they want to feel as if they have won. They never want to feel as if they've lost. And so the cycle begins. They turn to their next supply again. So be wary of narcissistic people. Be wary if you have these traits. Maybe it's time to actually go and see that therapist. Now, in describing these traits, you may be a person who recognizes that you've been emotionally abused, because that's what narcissists do. They don't necessarily physically abuse you. It's emotional abuse, commonly termed now as narcissistic abuse. And so you may be listening to this right now and recognize this in a potential partner or a partner. You know, at first, that new partner might make grand romantic gestures. And they'll say to you that they want to be with you all the time. But underlying their behavior is an attempt to manipulate you. I want to emphasize that. Underlying in their behavior is an attempt to manipulate you. And it will start slowly. They might slowly start criticizing your style. Ever so subtle at first. It could be simple as, oh, such and such gives the best hugs or gives such a great hug. Implying that your hug is not as great, you see. It might be simple as, maybe you guys work out, okay? And he wants to use the washing machine, but remember, maybe you've got like a procedure where, or a protocol where you've got to have a full load before you wash a full cycle. And then they will test you and say something like, do you mind if I just wash, you know, my gym trousers and top in this? And they're watching you to see how you're going to react to that. And then when you do it, they think, okay, I've got her. She wouldn't usually do that from her conversation, but she's done it for me. You see, manipulation is very slow. You see, underlying in their behavior is an attempt to manipulate you. So they might slowly start criticizing your style or the way that you do things, or urge you not to hang out with your friends. Or maybe you like taking the bicycle out, but say, maybe is it better that you take the car? Oh, that bike, it's not really, you know, it's not really great. See, little critiques. Or they may try a way to make you doubt the way that you feel. And then when you call them on it, they'll tell you that you're wrong or that you're crazy. And then there's this way where they have of making you constantly second guessing yourself. Obviously, it doesn't look the same in every relationship because every relationship is different. However, many of the traits that I've described, you will recognize them when you see it. But one thing that most abusive relationships of this kind have in common is that the abusive partner does many different kinds of things to have more power. And has
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and Money Making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.